We are up to Perek Vav. We're up to Perek Vav. And Perek Vav takes us in a bit of a different direction, because until now we've basically spoken about the overall picture of the nefesh which is put into everybody, but with the important caveat on what we've been focusing on is that, again, there are these two different nefashos that exist in man. There's the nefesh elokis, and there is the nefesh habahamas. And until now, we've really focused on the nefesh elokis. Now, we are going to focus more on the nefesh habahamas. And we'll understand, Nirtz Hashem, a little bit later, why that is so significant. You would think, okay, the nefesh habahamas is all the bad stuff, and the nefesh elokis is all the good stuff, and we should just be focusing on the good. But the time here is going to develop a very, very important yesod, which I think is broader than just what he says over here. And he writes like this: V'hinei ze l'umas ze asar elokim. He quotes the pasuk in Koheles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created things with opposites. It is a rule that is built into creation, that for whatever kedusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into the world, he has to put a corresponding koach of tumah, of impurity. Why? Because there has to be a certain equilibrium in the world. Presumably, it has to do with the fact that we need to be able to have bechira. And if we are overwhelmed by kedusha, or overwhelmed by tumah, then we're going to lose our bechira because we are drawn in. So there are powers and there are forces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into the Bria that are pulling us in each direction. But they have to mirror one another in order for that equilibrium to be kept. And therefore he writes, Kikamoshe nefesh elokis kelula me'eser sfiros kedoshim. So just like the nefesh elokis is made out of 10 sfiros, again, whatever exactly that meant, right? We said that there were the three emos, and then there were the seven kulos, or the midos, and the three on top, the chachma, bina, das, and then there were the other seven which emerged. So too, and the shlosha levushim kedoshim, and the three holy levushim, the garments, what are those? Right? Machshav, adibar, maisa. Right, those are the levushim, those are the garments through which everything, but in this particular context, our nefesh elokis is brought out into the world, is realized, again, because we can't relate in terms of practically in the world in terms of the nefesh elokis. So kacha nefesh de sitra achra. So too is the same thing from the nefesh which comes from the sitra achra, which again we usually use to referring to the negative, but literally means from the other side. The other side is the nefesh habahamis, and the nefesh habahamis consists of the powers that we have, again, that correspond to this. So we'll have, you know, the three primary ones and the seven lower ones, but they are, and we'll have the machshava, dibor, and maisa, which come out from this, from the other side. And these are the self-serving, egocentric forces that exist in our lives. But specifically, he writes, miklipas noga. Specifically, the power which drives the nefesh habahamis is the klipas noga. We spoke briefly about klipas noga at the beginning. Right? Noga means the bright. They're klipas. So what does this mean? So we said that the klipa is the things that are negative, and klipas noga is the klipa which has negativity that can be redeemed and used for good. And that is kind of, as we'll see, it might even be one of the major aspects of what our avoda is to elevate the things that are in klipas noga and figure out how to find the kedusha that is inside of them. Because again, I think as we mentioned earlier on, everything that exists is existing because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it to be here. Otherwise, it wouldn't exist. And the reason that the klipa is called the klipa, right, is because it's the outer shell. Right? It's that which is covering over. What is it covering over? It's covering over whatever spark of Kedusha, whatever is potentially inside. And on one level, the physical negative drives towards self-gratification will manifest themselves in those types of ways. But anything which is driven by Klipas Noga has the potential to be elevated. And these things are Melubeshes Bedama Adam. Okay, this again is a little bit beyond anything that we'll fully understand, but somehow it's situated, if we had to identify physically where it is, it's in the blood of a person. Again, because blood is really what gives us our chiyus, right? Anything which, any part of the body which does not have a blood supply going to it is going to die. And it's kelula me'eser kisvin de misa avusa. It comes from the 10 powers, the 10 spheros of misa avusa is disgustingness. Right? The opposite of kedusha. What does that consist of? Shein sheva midos ra'os abos me'arba yisodos ra'man is currently al. So again, they're going to be the three primary ones, and then the seven secondary midos, and they're all coming. They're all based on the four yisodos that the world is made out of. Up there, right? The afar, esh, mayim, and ruach. Okay. Oh. So now, okay. V'seichel hamolidon, and where does it come from? Hanechal g'shalo shein chachma bina v'das mekor amidos, right? There is still the same model of the chachma bina das, but again, it's being used for self-gratification. Ki hamidos hein lefi erech haseichel, right? Our midos, which refers to our emotions, right? They are relative to our intellect. Ki hakatan, a young child, choshek v'oev dvarim ktanim b'chusei erech, wants and desires things that are insignificant and unimportant. Why? Right? Why does the child not realize that they would rather, you know, have a pack of baseball cards than a diamond? Is because according to the seichel that the child has, that is what is significant. The things that set off a child in terms of, you know, having a tantrum and being angry are not going to be the same things which set off an adult, hopefully. And the same thing is true with, again, all types of showing off and other negative traits that exist. Oh. With this, the Tanya is now going to develop a very, very important yesod. So again, on the one hand, we understand that things which bring us closer, right, the machshava, dibor, and maisa of anything mitzvah related comes from the nefesh elokis. The machshava, dibor, and maisa of anything which is bad and egocentric comes from the nefesh abahamas. So is it really so polarized? So he explains as follows. V'eser b'chinos elu, ha-tameos, these 10 powers that are, these 10 powers that are tame, kesha'adam mechashe bahen, o medaberos, if a person speaks about it, thinks about it, or acts, hari machshavto, his thoughts, shebemocho, that are in his mind, v'diburo shebepiv, and the words in his mouth, the koach ha-maasi shebiyadav, and the actions in his hands, ushari varv, and his other limbs, nikroyim levushei misavu, l'asebachin ha-tzeh, l'atmasim ha-shebalatzu, b'mishas ma'isot dibura ma'chshava, right, are going to be, again, the levushim, the expressions, that was what I was looking for before, the expressions of the nefesh, which is tameh. And then he says, as follows, or he introduces the following, or struggles with the following concept, and that is that there are things that are clearly from Kedusha, and there are things that are clearly from Tumah, and, you know, therefore forbidden. However, what about just normal things that I do? Normal machshava dibur amaisa throughout the course of my day. So where does that stem from? Where does that come from? If all of our machshava dibur amaisa is really a expression of something going on internally in our nefesh, so then we can clearly divide into the nefesh elokis and the nefesh abahamas. But then there seem to be what we would call spiritually neutral activities. They're not bad, and they're not good. Where do those come from? And the Tanya suggests that there are no spiritually neutral acts. There are no spiritually neutral acts in our lives. And everything that we do that appears to be neutral serves one of two purposes. Either it serves us, or it serves to bring us closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And those are the only two options that exist. Where do these things realize themselves? Is this is really what the Klipas Noga is about. It's about those things that seem to be neutral, and therefore have the potential to be elevated. That's the, again, that's I guess what we would call the parav elements of our lives are the ones that come from Klipas Noga. And our job is to seek the Kedusha in those everyday things. Our job is to figure out how to elevate the ordinary and make it extraordinary. How to gather what in Hasidus they would call the Birurim that exist, and these little sparks of Kedusha, and elevate the Elokus and remove that Klipa so you get to the Elokus, so you get to the godliness and the Kedusha that is in everything. And this is what he's going to explain right now. V'heinim kol ha-masim asher nasim tachas ha-shemesh. Every single thing that is done in this world asher ha-kol hevel u'ruus ruach is nothingness u'kumo shekasa b'zor b'shav shein t'viru d'rucha, that they are destructive spirits. Anything which does not actively bring us in some way towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of this negativity. So the default of these spiritual neutral activities seems to be that it's coming, or that it is an expression of the Nefesh HaBahamas. Right? Because that's where it is right now. And unless it has in where the Klipas Noga actions are right now, these part actions are right now, there we have not yet uncovered the spirituality. It requires actively engaging and figuring out how we're going to use it for Kedusha in order to elevate them. And so any Dibur Machshava which is not towards Hashem is going to be not against, but is going to be not from the Nefesh Elokis. Shezeo perish lashon sitra achra. Perish tzad acher she'eno tzad hakedusha. And that's why, right, we don't refer to, right, sitra achra sometimes is used as this like very negative type of lashon. But that's not necessarily the case. Sitra achra really implies more that it's the opposite, it's the other side of Kedusha. So anything which is not Kedusha is Sitra Achra. But included in that would be things that we would call, again, that in a vacuum are a little bit more spiritually neutral. Meaning, you don't need there to be an Isser to do something in order for it to be generated from the Sitra Achra, from the opposite side of Kedusha. What defines something as Kedusha is anything which draws us towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, by the person being Mevata Lezigo. That's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, is that we put him at the center and not us at the And that's what he explains now. V'tzad HaKedusha Einu El HaShra V'Hamshacha Mikdusha Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzad of Kedusha is almost an extension in a certain way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to only come for something which negates itself to him. kimalachim elyonim. That bittul can be like the malach, where it is a complete bittul; they have no existence. Or bein bikoach, or it can be with a certain amount of potential which exists. Like every single Jew down here, we have a nefesh elokis, we have this connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore we have the ability to be mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shek bekocho lios bato mamash legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'mesiros nafsh HaKadosh Hashem. By anything that we do of being moser nefesh, again, whether physically or whether spiritually, right, anything that we do to bring us close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is included in this. As long as a person sits and is learning Torah, doesn't matter who the person is. Doesn't matter who the person is. Doesn't have to be a tzaddik, right? That still brings in the Shechina. Why? Because we're all connected. The Olam, and that's also why when you have 10 Jews together, that's going to be the potential for kedusha as well. Says the Tanya now, he asks basically a very fundamental question. If all of this is true and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so how does evil exist? How does evil exist? So he explains, Avakol mash'ina batal etzel yisbarach. Anything which isn't batal, gesundheit, anything which isn't batal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elu hudavar nifrad b'shnei atzmos, stands separately. And then, einu mekabel chiyus mikdushas hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Its life essence does not come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So where does it come from? Didn't we say that everything that exists in the world comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So where does it get its energy from? So he explains. He says, it doesn't come mibechinas pnimis HaKadosh Mahusa v'atzmusa b'chvod avatz. It doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence itself. Ela mibechinas acharayim. It comes from behind. What does it mean that it comes from behind? It means it comes from the outside. Meaning, if you think about it this way, right, the inside of a container is the function of the container, right? When a container is constructed, its purpose is to hold something. But it can't have its function without also having the walls, which are the outside. But the walls aren't the function of the container. It's not what is desired. Right? But you can't have the inside without the outside. So sometimes it can be a little bit more than what's necessary on the outside, right? The little bit that's desired on the inside, but that's what it has to be. Right? There can be more in the walls than in the inside. So the same thing is true here as well. You have this kedusha which comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Sheyardim madrega l'madrega rivos madregos b'shashas olam. It comes down many, many different steps to get to this world. Derech ilo v'olov v'tzimtzumim rabim, again through different diminishments. Ad shenismad kol kach ha'or v'achiyos miyot achar miyot, until the light, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is so minimized and diluted. Ad sheyachol is the his tzamtzem uslavish bechinas golus toch osa davar hanifrad, that it almost becomes exiled inside these things that exist separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lachayosu lekaimo me'ayin liyesh, to give it the ability to be sustained, right, from nothing to something. Shalavza yos ayin rabbis kivatchila mikodem shenifrad, because it shouldn't go back to the way that it was beforehand. So meaning like this, that creation is this process which exists, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to instill his energy into creation. And if that's true, so then how can evil possibly exist? So the basic answer is that there are certain times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminishes his presence so much that the whatever it is contained in no longer expresses any divine properties. So you can't see any elokus inside of it anymore, but there obviously has to be some sort of elokus that is there. V'lachein, and again, that's the idea of the acharayim, right? When you greet somebody with a smile, right? That's somebody that you like. When you're meeting somebody you don't like, you give them sometimes, right, a different type of look. What is that type of look? Is that what type of look express? It expresses, I'm giving you my back. I don't really want to have anything to do with you. So, but it's still coming from me. So it's the same thing. Right? God gives the life force the negative, but he does so in a backhanded sort of way, because again, there has to be this equilibrium in the world, or the world could not exist. Let's just try to finish up the paragraph over here. And that's what we've been saying. That's why this world is referred to as the world of Klipos and Sitra Achra. Right? Because again, the idea of the Klipa is to cover over. And that is why, right, all of the there's so much wicked which can prevail in this world. Again, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to. And now he just finishes off. There are two levels within Klipos. You have four levels of Klipa. The three lowest levels of Klipa are just evil. There is no good at all. What that means. And these three klipos keep the wickedness of the world in existence. And anything, right, an animal which is tamei also doesn't have inherent kedusha to it. It is sustained by klipa. And any vegetation which is going to be forbidden. What does that mean, vegetation which is forbidden? What vegetation is forbidden? Well, erla, kilea kerem. We're looking at the world from a spiritual lens. So a vegetable or which grows or something, and it's kilea kerem, it's kilayim, that is a piece of almost a machalos asuros, a bunch of gosbe zachayim. V'chein kiyam v'chiyos kol maisa di machshava shal kol shin samechei lo saseh v'mfeim. Right? Any machshava di b'maisa of any of the mitzvot lo saseh, those come from the klipa. In Perek Zion, he's going to focus, again, as much of the next little while does, on this klipa snogan, this fourth klipa that exists, on what it is, on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us, and how it is that we go about elevating our everyday activities in order to uncover the Kedusha which is inside of them.